This is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle app.
Strike three called, admiring the hook from James Paxton tonight.
Now, the Cactus League Report.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to sunny Peoria, Arizona, another edition of the Cactus League Report. As the Mariners tonight get ready to take on the San Francisco Giants on a beautiful Wednesday night out for baseball. Hi again, everybody. I'm Rick Riz, along with Aaron Goldsmith. We'll be joined by Shannon Dreyer, along with Gary Hill. We've got a full show for you for 1 hour prior to the pregame show tonight. We're going to visit with Kevin Martinez, the director of marketing for the Mariners, who does such an incredible job for the ball club. The new Mariner commercials are out, five of them. They are absolutely fantastic. They're funny. They're informative. And I'll tell you, folks, you're going to love those Mariner commercials. We'll be visiting with Kevin Martinez. Also, we're going to sit down, had a chance to visit with Robbie Cano. Robbie, a few days ago, had to come out of the lineup with a little bit of a sore hamstring. That's been an issue here at spring training. But we're going to visit with one of the best second basemen in the history of the game of baseball, Robbie Cano. He's on track to make it to the Hall of Fame. We'll also visit with a freelance writer who has covered Ichiro for many, many years. We're going to talk with Brad Lefton later on in the show, and we may also have a chance to visit with Casey Lawrence as well, who's done a great job for the Mariners on the pitching side. And Aaron Goldsmith and Shannon Dreyer, spring training. Here it is, game number 20 on the spring. And we saw Rob Whalen do a heck of a job for the Mariners yesterday. In that game against the Colorado Rockies, five innings, gave up only one run. He walked two, and he struck out nine, had a tremendous curveball. Aaron, Shannon, this guy is pitching himself into a pretty good position right now with some injuries in that center rotation.
Well, what do you say, Shannon? He's one of the best stories this spring for the Mariners, not only in terms of on the field, but just the feel-good nature of it as well.
There's no question about it. I mean, this is a guy, I think he only had about 50 innings last year and then shut it down to deal with some personal issues and handled that and has been open about, you know, the struggle that he had with depression. And he got to the end of that and then September picked up a baseball again through the winter. And what do you know? He comes in. He says he feels like a new person right now and that everything is, it could not have gone better for him. And to see him go out and have that outing last night, to see the curveball as effective as it is, with all the work that he has put in on himself and his pitching, it was kind of neat to see.
Yeah, he's having fun again. That different release point on the curveball, he was casting it last year. Now he's reaching out and extension with that curveball. It was beautiful yesterday. Nine strikeouts along the way. Ichiro back in the lineup for his third start this spring. And I asked him this morning, how does it feel to be back? And he says, it's so nice to put on that uniform. It's a perfect fit. He wasn't talking about the size of the jersey or the pants, but he said this is a perfect fit to be back with the ball club, and it shows.
All I know is that watching him score from first base on a Gene Segura triple, I mean, it looked like it was early 2000s again for Ichiro. He was flying.
It's been so fun to see him in the clubhouse, to see him out on the field. It's almost like he never left. You look out and you're like, oh, of course, that's Ichiro. I mean, he feels home. It feels like this is where he belongs, and he's thriving. And it's funny because he mixes into the clubhouse. That's a very lively clubhouse that the Mariners have. And for everything that Ichiro brings, if you thought, oh, there's going to be so much around him, no, he just fits into an otherwise, you know, just very diverse, eclectic, loud clubhouse, and he seems to be enjoying himself.
He's having a ball, and that smile on his face really proves it. The Mariners getting ready to take on the San Francisco Giants on a beautiful Wednesday night here in Peoria. Again, welcome to the Cactus League Report. Coming up next, we're going to visit with the director of marketing for the ball club, Kevin Martinez. Last month, they finished the commercials, the Mariner commercials. They are fantastic. We'll be back and talk with Kevin about the new Mariner commercials right after this timeout.
Now, back to the Cactus League Report, live from Mariner Spring Training in Arizona.
Hey, Nick, why do they call Pax the Big Maple?
Well, for starters, he's 6'4", and he weighs 220. That's the big part. And he's from Canada. That's the maple part. And then there's this one other thing.
I'm glad you guys aren't Blue Jays or Orioles.
I love it. That's one of the five Mariner commercials that are being debuted tonight here on radio and also on television. We're televising as well all five commercials making their debut and a chance to talk about those. the director of marketing for the Mariners and communications as well. Kevin Martinez joins us. Kevin, I had a chance to watch all of them just a little while ago, work-related with Nelson Cruz, Arta Freeman with Felix and others, Big Maple right there. The hair flip was great with Kyle Seager and Ben Gamble, and also Robbie Cano with his visit to the mound with a visiting pitcher and the visiting catcher, Rick Riz, Aaron Goldsmith, Gary Hill, Shannon Dreher, Kevin Martinez. How does all that happen so beautifully year after year?
Yeah, we're so fortunate to work with an ad agency in Seattle, Copacino Fujikato, and then you throw in some folks at the Mariners, Greg Green, Mandy Lincoln, and others. It's a collaboration. It starts in November. We finalize the scripts in early January. Then we start to go into the pre-production process, and we shoot the middle of February down here with the players. And it's a unique Mariners baseball tradition now. We've been doing it so long, and we get great input from the fans in the offseason. A lot of ideas come from the fans, the germ of an idea, and then we bring it to the folks at our ad agency. And it's really become a ritual every spring.
Jared Oppono said earlier today, Kevin, that other executives talked to him about the Mariners commercials. I'm curious, what has been your response, your feedback from other people in your chair with other organizations about the commercials?
You know, we get a lot of inquiries on how do you go about doing it, and the timeline and the time that it takes in spring training. And I think what we're what we benefit from is just the longevity. When we can show a new player to our organization commercials that feature Ken Griffey Jr. and Jay Buhner and Edgar Martinez and Ichiro Suzuki, and you go down the list and they see it and it comes off pretty well, they all think, yeah, you know what? I'd love to have this as part of my Major League Baseball career. It's something that's timeless. So we get a lot of buy-in, thankfully, for the players. They enjoy it. They're very gracious with their time. And, you know, they're not actors, they're ball players.
Disclaimer.
But they're great, and
beautiful.
And they look for direction, and they have ideas. I mean, you know, going back through the hands of the time, Jamie Moyer would get involved in directing the commercial. I think we should shoot it from this angle. And we're like, let's try it. And you know, if a player's that engaged in it, we're terrific. Let's give it a whirl. So it's really been a fun part of all of our jobs.
So, Kevin, it's just past Academy Awards season.
Right.
And so it's hard to be one of the early ones because then you don't get noticed at the end of the year. But if you were to give the best leading actor and supporting actor, who would it be?
Well, Felix Hernandez is now only next to Dan Wilson in terms of most appearances on the small screen in commercials.
Wow.
Dan is the all-time leader in terms of the number of commercials. Felix is number two. Felix is spectacular. He is really, really terrific. Kyle Seager, I think you see, when you can be subtle and funny, and
yes.
Kyle does that.
I love that.
In this commercial this year, Seager, he just cracks me up. I mean, I find his ability to convey what we're looking for to be terrific. These guys are terrific. There's a lot of them. Robbie Cano lights up the screen with that smile. I mean,
leading
he's got
man.
Megawatt smile. And for me, this year, the newcomer, Dee Gordon. Was just wonderful in that Art of the Frame when he delivers that line. It makes you lean in and then slaps you in the face. It was terrific, very animated, and you know, you feel like that's what Dee would say, something like that. So it's great when new guys can come into the process and feel comfortable.
You know, you got five of them. This will be a tough one to answer because they're all great.
Right.
Do you have a favorite, though?
No.
The one that makes you feel really...
They're like children.
Laugh.
They're all my favorite. You can't pick one.
Yeah.
Can you?
Well...
You can.
No,
but
I like them all.
I love them all.
1A to 1...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I like them all. The mound visit one with Robbie, I think, is incredibly topical. That line when the catcher says, well, that was a waste of a visit, and he marries it with the rear-end slap of the pitcher. I thought that was very timely. The work-related injury is
hilarious.
Very... A fun story.
Nelly comes into the room with the little teddy bear and the balloon.
At the end, and the pitcher, you know, hurts his neck again. The hair flip and the outrageous hair flip of Ben Gamble in the super slow-mo is probably, you know, the biggest laugh that I've heard so far out of the collection. But Big Maple is, you know, that one makes you kind of scratch your head. He's got a nest in his hat, really. But they're all a lot of fun.
How did you go about casting gamble? Because there was more than one choice, right? There's more than one choice for a hair flip with this
team. That's true. That's absolutely true. It could have been either one of them. Ben was a good sport to come in and do that. And when we played it back for him, the first take in the super slow-mo, I think he realized how it was going to look on TV. He's like, oh, boy.
It's a luscious mane.
Kyle Seeger said Ben had never done it before. He didn't know how to do it, and it took him at least 25 takes. And some of them were so good that it was all out of the frame, but there was too much hair at times.
You know, it's funny. When we were going back this offseason and we were looking for gamble hair flips, the only time we saw it was if his cap came. He made a diving catch, and he just sort of naturally did it.
Yes.
Taylor's got more of the pronounced hair flip, right? I mean, it was more on cue after his home runs last season. But Ben was terrific. That was his first time ever being in a commercial, and he did a great job.
Visiting with Kevin Martinez from the Mariners Marketing Department. And, you know, these commercials are so incredible. I'm trying to remember the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And have you thought about putting them all together on a DVD, mm-hmm. the history of Mariner commercials, because fans would love
yeah.
that.
Well, you might remember, or maybe
we
not.
We had something.
When we finished 100 spots, we did a two-night giveaway at the ballpark,
yes.
where we gave away the first 50 on a DVD and then the second 50, the next homestand on a DVD. We're up to about 140 spots
wow.
now, so maybe we get to 150. We'll add to that collection.
Again.
Yeah, no, it's you know, they're all available now online. You can go to the Mariners YouTube channel and watch every one of them,
whoa.
Which is terrific, as well as Mariners.com. But yeah, that's a fun idea to be able to distribute them to the fans, and. Yeah, we'll if we keep doing them, which I think we will, as long as the fans keep asking for them, we'll certainly do them.
I do need to know more about this internal baseball reference spreadsheet that details every player and how many spots they've been in. I mean, somebody must have gone through and watched every commercial and made a list of every player and how many times.
We have. We obviously need more to do. But, we had a gentleman who worked on our account. Named Steve Canetta, worked at the ad agency. Steve has since passed, and we miss him dearly. But Steve built the spreadsheet, and I've carried it on. And so every time a new player makes an appearance, we log his appearance. So I can share with this. When you get back to Seattle,
yes.
I will show you this. It's a great document. But, Felix is climbing the charts.
This needs to be in the game notes, right? Yeah. I mean, this needs a page. Hevley's crew needs to get on this. This is fantastic.
Yeah. And it's funny to look back through the names of the Mariners who have appeared in the spots.
Oh, so, my God.
Yeah.
And broadcasters and media members.
That's right. Shannon's been in one. Yeah. Rick's been in one.
Dave and I were in one. Yeah. We're about to visit the mound where the players, you know, cover their mouths with their glove. Mm-hmm. Dave and I were broadcasting with our glove in front of our face, you know.
Right. Yeah. That was a fun one.
It was.
Joel Pinheiro was in that spot, mm-hmm. and Joel's in camp currently.
I saw him a little while ago. Yeah. Joel Pinheiro, now one of the coaches down in the minor leagues. Kevin, thanks so much
you
for
bet.
Coming by.
Thanks for having
incredible.
Me.
Incredible. The Mariner TV commercials for 2018 debuting tonight, featuring Robbie Cano, Nelson Cruz, Ben Gamble, D. Gordon, Mitch Haniger, Ryan Healy, Felix Hernandez, James Paxton, Kyle Seeger, Gene Seeger, Nick Vincent, and Mike Zunino. I tell you what, folks, you are going to absolutely love them. Back with more. We're going to have a visit with Robbie Cano as the Cactus League report continues on a beautiful Wednesday night here in Peoria as the Mariners get ready to take on the San Francisco Giants. Back with more after this.
Now back to the Cactus League report, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
Say, friends, take advantage of the Safeco Field Suite special going on now. When you pay in full for two or more suites by March 30th, you'll receive a free private suite for select games. Your clients will enjoy a great space to catch the game, and you'll enjoy great savings. For more information, log on to Mariners.com/premium. Again, welcome to the Cactus League Report. Mariners getting ready to take on the Giants here in Peoria on a beautiful Wednesday night for baseball. Earlier, I had a chance to catch up with veteran second baseman Robinson Cano getting ready for his fifth season in a Mariners uniform after starring for 9 years with the New York Yankees. We talk about his spring and his thoughts about this year's version of the 2018 Mariners. Here's Robbie Cano. Robbie, welcome to the Cactus League Report as the Mariners get ready for another night game here in Peoria. I want to go way back. I mean, you've been in this game for a long time. You're getting ready for your 14th season in the major leagues. Your numbers have been
incredible. Taking a look around at this beautiful clubhouse right here. How have things changed since your very first spring training way back when? Your rookie year in 2005.
Well, I think the only thing that has changed is now that I'm a better now. I've been playing for so long, but I mean, I've been grinding like from day one, like not thinking about it. I have a secure job. I go out and, you know, try to get ready for the season, and knowing that I have a job, and know that I gotta go out and have the season to win.
Back in 2003, 2004, 2005, you didn't know if you were gonna have a job. There's a lot of young players in this minor league camp. As a young player in your first major league camp, what did you learn that you still carry with you today?
Well, the first thing that I learned, or what I did, was as a kid, knowing that everyone that is there, they've been playing in the big leagues, have more experience than me. So what I did was just go out there and ask questions. What they doing in the hitting, watch what drills guy are doing. And I remember Ruben Sierra. He was a guy that I was doing a drill with him, and using one of his bat was 35, 34. It was a heavy bat, and then, you know, we're doing that drill, and that really worked for me. I went down to the minor, and then even in this spring training, I did really good. I went down, and then first month of the season, I did really good, and then I went out to the big leagues like a month later.
Your numbers have been, Robbie, incredible, very consistent all year long, the average, the home runs, and the RBIs. How have you evolved as a hitter down through the years to keep up those numbers so consistently?
Well, I think it's working hard, and you know, for you to be consistent, you have to work hard. You have to, like, you know, there's a lot of things you have to sacrifice, a lot of things you have to do that, you know, as a player, you can feel satisfied. If you feel like, oh, I had a good year last year, I don't care this year. You have to go out like you never done anything the year before and then try to do better this year.
Yeah. I take a look at all your numbers, but there's always one number, Robbie, that stands out for me, for you, is games played. Last year, 150, but you spent time in the disabled list. You want to play every day. When did you get that mindset, and where did you get it from, or who you got it from?
Well, I would say for myself, because I love this game so much that I hate to go out and have to, like, sit down in the bench and watch somebody else play.
Yeah.
So I always play a lot of games in minor leagues, and then I get with that. So knowing that if I miss a game, I would say that's a game that I might can hit it 2 hits or 2 homers. Maybe at the end of my career, I might need those 2 hits. So, you know, maybe one day you can rest perfect, like 4 or 5 times through the year. That's perfect. But, like, I always say, you know, the day that I feel, like, more tired, those are the day that I go out and have a better game.
But watching you play, especially at second base, you have a lot of fun. How much does that drive you? You really enjoy the game of baseball.
Yeah, I really enjoy this game. And, you know, I think about all those fans that really, you know, baseball fans, Robinson Cano's fans, and all those kids out there. So you have to, like, kind of, like, you know, trying to go out and enjoy and knowing that people's watching you and people like rooting for you.
Your father played in the big leagues. He pitched in 1989 with the Houston Astros. You were probably about, I'm guessing, 6-7 years of age maybe at the time. What do you remember about your dad being a big leaguer?
Well, I mean, that I remember, because I never get a chance to come into the state, but I remember, like, receiving the call at least every day to see how we're doing. I remember that TV was, like, black and white back then. And then knowing that we had to go to the neighbor so he can call, because we didn't have a phone back then, but the neighbor has a phone. So that's why he calls the neighbor. And we got a chance to talk to him every night, at least for, like, maybe 10, 20 minutes.
Never saw him play, though?
Never in the big leagues, but I went to Mexico and saw him play there for, like, 5 straight years. Never get a chance to go to Taiwan either.
What was it like to have your dad pitch the 1 All-Star game in the Home Run Derby?
Well, that was like a dream come true, because I always said that I would love to face my dad, and and knowing that I can face him there and be able to, you know, hear those homers, that was something that, you know, made me proud. And, you know, every time you see that, you hit a bomb and you look up there, you had to be ready to hit it. It's your dad. I mean, that's something that, and I think for it was more the connection, because all these big guys that was there, you had, like, Big Papi, Adrian Gonzalez,
yeah,
Matt Kemp, and all those big guys. Maybe I was the shortest guy in there.
And then, speaking of home runs in an All-Star game, last year, home run in the 10th inning, American League wins it by a score of 2-1. You're the All-Star game MVP. What was that like for you?
Oh, that was like a dream come true. I mean, it's kind of like you dream about it, thinking about it every, like, how does it feel to win one? I mean, you saw guys like Trout once or twice. Yeah. You saw Black Guerrero. You saw us as Dominican, Tejada. You saw all those guys win. I mean, you always, like, want to know how to feel. And I mean, and you feel pretty good. And, you know, it's like a dream come true.
Yeah, we were happy for you watching you hit that home run and being the MVP of the All-Star Game. Looking around this clubhouse, there's a kid over there, D. Gordon. Ryan Healy is hurt right now, but he's going to be over at first base. Juan Nicasio in the bullpen. How good is this ball club this year, Robbie? And what can you accomplish here in 2018?
Well, I don't want to jinx ourselves, but you know what? In purpose, we look really good. You know, one thing that I've been praying every night and every time I pray is for us to stay healthy. I would love to see this team, everyone's healthy the whole year. Starter, position player, everyone. To see, I want to experience, like, how good can we be during the season.
Yeah, if this ball club stays healthy, I think you would have made the playoffs last year. But 40 pitchers, 17 starters, 17 guys on the disabled list, and you still hung in there late in the year. You still had a shot for that wild card spot.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I say that. That's why I want to see if we all stay healthy, how far we can go.
Robbie, your numbers have been incredible. Over 300 home runs, over 500 doubles. With the double and the home run last year, over 1,100 RBIs, over 2,300 hits in the major leagues. You're going to be over 3,000. You got a ways to go. Have you thought about the Hall of Fame? Because your hitting coach is going to go in next year.
Well, no, not really. I mean, I had too many years left, so I had to still, like, add in numbers. So, for me, I want to add in more numbers, and then maybe when I retire, I'm going to have time to think about it and see the good things that I did. I don't want to get my head away from the game and thinking about too far ahead.
I tell you what, Mariner fans are happy to see Robbie Cano out there at second base every day. You're fun to watch, and you're a big reason why the Mariners are going to have a lot of success this year. Robbie, thanks a lot for the visit.
Thank you.
A visit with Mariners, I think he's a future Hall of Famer. Robbie Cano putting up some great numbers. He will continue to do so. Sitting down with Robbie. Coming up next here on the Cactus League Report, as the Mariners get ready to take on the Giants tonight, we're going to visit with freelance writer Brad Lefton, who has watched Ichiro for many, many years. We'll be back with that interview with Brad along with Aaron Goldsmith right after this timeout.
This is the Cactus League Report.
Going, goodbye baseball!
On 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, and the 710 Seattle app.
Strike three called, admiring the hook from James Paxton tonight.
Now, the Cactus League Report.
Again, welcome back to the Peoria Sports Complex. Beautiful night as the Mariners get ready to take on the San Francisco Giants. The Cactus League Report continues. Well, he is back. Ichiro is back with the ball club after starting 11 and a half years with the Mariners, beginning in 2001. Then he went to the Yankees and the Marlins. Number 51 is back. That means there is a large contingent of Japanese media here at the ballpark and will be all season long. One of those guys is freelance writer Brad Lefton, who has chronicled just about every great throw, catch, hit, stolen base along the way, everything Ichiro. And Aaron Goldsmith had a chance to catch up with Brad Lefton talking about Ichiro Suzuki.
Well, Brad, we are inside the press conference room here in the Peoria Sports Complex. The news officially has been announced that Ichiro is once again joining the Mariners, and it looks like you had a chance to give some hugs to some of the media members here in Seattle. You're coming back to Seattle. First of all, for people who aren't familiar, please tell us your role with Ichiro.
Well, I'm a freelance journalist who does most of his work for Japanese media, and I just had the good fortune to be assigned to cover him in year one, 2001, here in Peoria. We did a documentary for Japanese TV on his first year, so I was around almost every game, and then it just blossomed from there. So this is now year 18 for me, and I guess it's somewhat of a homecoming, a second homecoming for me as well. I'm very happy, but I'm more so than happy for myself to be able to come back to Seattle. Is happy for him because I know that that this is something that he really wanted, and it's just such a storybook development.
When you think about how long he might play for, and he had the quip today that he wants people to know that he wants to play until he's at least 50, not until he's 50, what has been your observations of him in terms of his preparation and how he keeps himself in shape, how he maintains his form, because obviously that is among one of the great things that he's known for.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. I think that I've never been around somebody who understands his body more than he does. Every little movement in his body, he understands, and he understands how that affects what he's trying to do on the baseball field. As far as the preparation and the, it's just mind-boggling. I mean, he barely puts the bat down when the season's over. If he takes 3 days off from the end of the season before he's swinging in the cage again, that's a long time. I remember once I asked him what was the longest he ever went in an off season without swinging the bat, and he said, when I went to Italy one off season for a week or 10 days, and he said, you know, I've regretted ever since that I didn't bring the bat with me to shadow swing in the hotel room.
you have so many memories of Ichiro, specifically in Seattle, and for over a decade it was essentially your adopted home, just like Ichiro's. So what are some of your great memories of Ichiro in Seattle?
There's so many of them. I mean, 262 and everything that led up to 262 is a phenomenal memory. The game winning, the walk off homer off Mariano Rivera at Safeco Field, that was phenomenal. It was his first walk off hit, maybe of his entire career, certainly of his American career. I think it was 2009. that was quite a spectacular memory. But I mean, there are just so many. 10 straight years of 200 hits, 10 years straight years of Gold Gloves. But another memory is from the 2009 season. The Mariners were about to set, I don't know if it was, it must have been a franchise record. I don't think it would be a league record, but they made it all the way to the end of the season without having anybody ejected from a game. And the last road trip of the year was in Toronto, and then after Toronto, the Mariners went home to finish up the season with 3 or 6 games on a homestand. But so they made it all the way to that point without an ejection. It was Don Wakamatsu's first year. And the most unimaginable thing happened at the Rogers Center. Of all people, to prevent the team from setting this record, Ichiro gets ejected from the game for questioning an umpire's call on a third strike. And so what's memorable to me about it is that he drew a line in the dirt to show where he thought the ball was, and the ump didn't like that and threw him out of the game. What's memorable to me about that is when you go back and you look at the video, And they have, there's an overhead view of the pitch. It is exactly where Ichiro draws his bat in the line. So that's memorable to me only because it shows the precision with which he plays the game. That ball, I mean, it was exactly where he drew the line with his bat in the dirt.
As someone who has been around Ichiro his entire stateside career, how well have you gotten to know Ichiro as a person?
I've covered him for 18 years, so I've gotten to know him as a person, I guess, you know, like you would in that in that relationship. And it's been a complete pleasure to see how somebody, you know, how an elite athlete thinks about the game, prepares himself for the game, the demeanor that he has. I've always said that it struck me one time. I was in a locker room in another stadium one time, and I just remember this moment where I saw all the players were in the clubhouse, and as you know from your experience, this is a daily occurrence. All the players are there, and then one guy comes in after everybody else, the starting pitcher for that day, and he's so focused he doesn't notice anything that's going on around him because that's his, it's his day. And when we were in some locker room and I saw the starting pitcher come in, and it just hit me that that's Ichiro every day. Not once in 5 days. Every single day, he comes to the ballpark with that mentality that this is his day. But 162 days a year, and that's pretty tough to do. I mean, a lot of those years in Seattle, you know, you make it to August and September, and it's no secret the team was way out of the race. And at the end of the season, the last homestand, you'd hear the sound of boxes being taped in the clubhouse. Not at his locker. No taping happened. No packing happened. Nothing. No thought of the offseason happened until the last out of the last game. And he would be out there stretching, even if there was no stretch before game 162, because it was game 162, he would be out there by himself preparing for that game like it was as important as any other game for the season. And that's really what I've gotten to know. And just see up close, it's just phenomenal.
Do you believe that he'll play until he's 50 or beyond?
The biggest hurdle to him playing 50 or beyond is not himself. The biggest hurdle to him playing 50 and beyond is the attitude of the people who have to make that decision. If you looked at him and you could only see the body and not the face, you would say that's the body of a 28-year-old, of a 30-year-old. And then if you revealed the face and it was 44-year-old Ichiro, you'd be surprised. So it's a little bit unfair to him that people get to know the age, because that becomes a lot of what I think people judge him on. If you did not know that, if you couldn't use that in your judgment, yes, I think he'd play to 50 and beyond, because he has the will to do it, and he keeps himself in such impeccable shape, and he's the game means so much to him. It's not like somebody asked the question today, what's left for you to accomplish, or what, something like that. And I think that people don't understand that he's not in the game for accomplishments. It's not, well, I want to get 3,000 hits and then I'm satisfied, or whatever the record is. I mean, of course, he wants, when a record is within his reach, of course he wants it, naturally. But he's not playing the game for any personal accomplishment other than the accomplishment of being able to perform at the very best that day. And so when the day comes that he feels that I was not able to perform at a level that I expect of myself or that I'm satisfied with, then he won't have this pursuit anymore. But until he has that feeling that he can keep going, we'll go to 50 and beyond, as long as somebody's there to give him a chance to do it.
Jeff Idelson, the president of the Baseball Hall of Fame, has spoken to us about Ichiro's obsessive love with the history of this game and his trips to Cooperstown and wanting to see all the artifacts, the memorabilia, and, of course, his desire to be a part of that history. Have you picked up on his love for the history of the game?
Oh yeah, yes. I mean, it's very, it's very, it's a part of him. He's very interested in all aspects of the game and its history. And I think it's a little bit different than you or I might enjoy the history of the game, because he plays it so. It's very interesting to him, for instance, to see and feel, more important feel than to see, actually, the equipment, and see what somebody was doing, you know, what the spikes that somebody was using to play the game, especially people that he's compared to, you know, George Sisler and Willie Keeler, and to see the equipment and Babe, you know, to see the how Babe Ruth had to hold the wood together on his bat with a nail, or to see how gloves have changed or how spikes have changed, and imagine, you know, the potential that the change in equipment has given to athletes. Mm-hmm. I think that's one big fascination for him.
Brad, this has been a wonderful visit. It's so good to see you, and I have a feeling we'll be seeing a lot of you this coming season at Safeco Field.
I hope so, Aaron. Thank you very much. I look forward to it.
How about that? Aaron Goldsmith visiting with freelance journalist Brad Lefton, covering Ichiro for the last 18 years. How about that? Giving us some more insight, great insight on the man we refer to by only his first name. You know who we're talking about, Ichiro. He's going to be on his way to the Hall of Fame. Incredible numbers. And he's in the lineup tonight for the third time this spring. It's great to have him back. Coming up after the break, Shannon sits down with veteran right-hander Casey Lawrence. He's having a great spring for the Mariners. Casey on the spring, no record, but has a 1.13 ERA in four outings out of the bullpen. Shannon with Casey right after this timeout.
Now back to the Cactus League Report, live from Mariners spring training in Arizona.
Welcome back to the Cactus League Report. Shannon Dreyer here as the Mariners are getting set to take on the Giants in just a few minutes, catching up with somebody who is having a tremendous spring and dropping his glove as we speak, Casey Lawrence. Casey, it's been a lot of fun to watch what you've done out on the hill. You're going in, you're in command of the games, and everything I keep hearing, every time Scott Servais talks about you, he says he's doing things a little differently this year. What's been your focus this spring?
Just still executing pitches, but adding a little bit different things to my game that I haven't had to do in a while. So obviously getting my first taste of Major League action last year, it shows you what works and what doesn't sometimes for each individual. And, adding some things here or there, taking some things away. So, just making adjustments when I have to right now.
How did you break that down at the end of the year? I know it's hard when you're in season to make a lot of changes, but you get away from it. And what did you kind of take from last year?
Just the experience and, the talent level of these hitters. But then at the same time, knowing that I belong out there and that I can get those guys out. So it's one of those things where, you take the good with the bad and learn from your mistakes and you keep doing the things that you were doing well as well. So you put that together in the off season and try and carry it here, spring training, and then spring training to the regular season.
Now, you said just a second ago you kind of went back to some things that you've done in the past. Explain a little.
In the past, I was, sinker ball kind of pitcher, move it around, not stay in the same spot too many times. Added some velocity in the last year or two and kind of last year tried to throw the ball by guys when realistically, I still had to make pitches. That got me into some trouble. More home runs last year than what I've ever given up in my career. So just kind of seeing what I had success before I made my first set of changes and kind of going back to what worked then and applying it this year. And Mel's been really receptive of it. And obviously adding some quick pitches and stuff like that, which has been fun and different. But he seems to love it. So
now we've seen Scott has talked about wanting pitchers to do a little bit more of that, to kind of vary things a little bit. You're the one that you and I think maybe Dan Altavilla, we've seen a little bit more. Did you come up with that on your own, or did they kind of put that in your head?
We had a meeting about it early in the year, and I always like to view myself as being an athlete rather than the pitcher persona that we can't do too much. just trying to be athletic out there, and as a pitcher, you're just trying to, disrupt hitters' timing and obviously doing these quick pitches and hesitations and stuff like that. That's what you're doing. So it's been fun starting to do that right now. But learning when to do it and when not to do it has been a work in progress. And it's been fun to do it in the bullpen. Obviously, without a hitter in there, you can kind of, work on it and get a feel for it a little bit better. And then determining when it's game ready and trying to do it to major league hitters is a different monster. But it's been fun.
Johnny Cueto was over here about a week ago. He's a guy kind of famous for that. Are there pitchers you've studied?
Johnny Cueto, for sure. So normally I've been down in the bullpen, haven't worked out of the bullpen predominantly here. I asked those guys if I could come down to the dugout and watch him, a little bit closer. So I did that and had a close eye on him and his shimmy shakes and everything in between. So and then I played with a guy in Toronto, and Marcus Stroman, who does the same thing. So watching some video and picking some things up, and my wife's been joking about it. She's at home. She's working on it too. So it's been fun.
Beautiful. Why not take it home and get a little extra help there where you can?
Absolutely.
You obviously use your resources. I just walked by. Mike Leake was throwing a bullpen, and you were right there and talking to him after. What do you get from that?
You get a guy that's done it for a very long time. So anytime I can sit there and watch somebody like Mike, who I like to consider that, I pitch similarly to, just sit there and see how he works and what he's working on in the bullpen, and you know, pick his brain about how he holds his slider or his cutter and things like that. You know, so he was, you know, scheduled to throw a bullpen the same time as I was, so I stuck around a little bit after and just watched him do his thing. And I think anytime you can watch a guy like Mike Leake, like we were talking about, you know, he's so good and he's been so good, and just learn from him and pick things up.
The strikeouts are something that we've seen as well. It seems like a little bit more. Well, what is working for you?
You know, right now it's just, you know, it's still spring training, so you're working on some things. You know, the quick pitches, they're, you know, messing with timing a little bit. My slider's been something I worked on in the off season. Elevating fastballs, which I haven't done in the past, kind of working that in right now. So it's just, you know, finding what works right now and going from there. Been sitting down with, you know, obviously we have so many resources now, video and the Rapsodo and TrackMan, and just seeing numbers and learning combinations of pitches I can use better for myself. So it's been a lot of behind the scenes kind of stuff to put it together.
When did you really start to incorporate the Rapsodo and the TrackMan?
It was this year. I really have never had any access, for me personally, to that data. You know, knew it was there, didn't really know how to do it. So now when you bring guys in that know how to do it, it can kind of teach you what this number means versus this number. It's been a you know, a learning curve in it, but it's also been a very, very nice tool to have.
The human resources play into that as well. You've got a bigger pitching coach staff, I guess, right now. What has it been like to work with Brian DeLunas, Jim Brouwer, and of course Mel?
Yeah, DeLunas and Brouwer have been very, you know, active in the TrackMan and the Rapsodo. For me, Brouwer has been my main resource right now, with the TrackMan and learning my pitching combinations, like we talked about. So it's been fun. It's, you know, you have guys that, you know, are experts in different areas, where, you know, Mel's very good with video, pitching mechanics. Brian with a Rapsodo, I haven't really got into that yet, but Brouwer with the TrackMan has been very, very helpful.
It's been a lot of fun to watch both what's been going on behind the scenes and, of course, you taking it out to the field. Hey, congratulations so far on a really nice spring.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that was Casey Lawrence, who I sat down with a couple of minutes ago, Rick, and just a lot of fun. I mean, I know you noticed the shimmy shake and the timing and whatnot, and he actually asked to sit in the dugout when Johnny Cueto was pitching rather than in the bullpen, and works on the shimmy shake at home as well. When
the wiggle-waggle shimmy shake.
Absolutely.
Trying to work it in. No, it's not a bad idea at all. Great job, Shannon, visiting with Casey Lawrence, and we're going to be back. Well, we're going to hang out to it right here. And this reminder, it's the main event at Safeco Field this April. Friday, April 13th, is going to be Ben Gamble Cap Night. The first 15,000 fans will receive this one-of-a-kind cap that features the long locks of the Mariners outfielders. Visit Mariners.com for tickets. So the Mariners getting ready for the main event tonight. That's a game between the Mariners and the San Francisco Giants. Great show tonight, produced by Gary Hill. A chance to visit with marketing guru Kevin Martinez with the five Mariner commercials. And, folks, you are absolutely going to love them. A visit with Robbie Cano, Mariners second baseman. Aaron's visit with freelance sports writer and journalist Brad Lefton, covering Ichiro for the last 18 seasons, and Shannon's piece right there with Casey Lawrence, who is really, again, putting in a nice bid to make this ball club with his spring this year, a 1.13 ERA. So, yeah, there's some injuries, but, Shannon, there's a lot of good things, a lot of good stories going on with this ball club this year.
Absolutely. A surprise with the return of Ichiro. We've seen the emergence of Waylon in the absence of Felix.
Wow.
And so
yes.
Many guys so close to coming back, and a good chance for it all to come together right before opening day and have everybody right there. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of watch everybody and some of those others that could help as well a little bit later in the season.
How nice is it to see Ichiro back in a Mariners uniform. It just carted in a few minutes ago, getting ready for the ball game tonight against San Francisco as he gets ready for his third appearance with the Mariners.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun just seeing him go about his daily business, which really hasn't changed. We're seeing what we saw 5.5 years ago the last time he was here.
So the Mariners getting ready to take on the San Francisco Giants tonight on what has turned out to be a beautiful night out for baseball here in Peoria. The second meeting of the spring between these two ball clubs. James Paxton will get the start for the Mariners tonight. And for James, it'll be his fourth start of the Cactus League season. And veteran left-hander Derek Holland will get the start for the San Francisco Giants. He was with the Chicago White Sox last year and had a record of 7-14. Ichiro in the lineup leading off. And also we'll see Gene Segura, Mitch Haniger, Mike Zunino, Daniel Vogelbach having a very good spring as well. Heredia, Mater, Marjima, and Vince in the starting lineup. The Mariners getting ready to take on the San Francisco Giants on a beautiful Wednesday night here in the Valley. The Mariners and the Giants are coming your way next. That wraps up the Cactus League report. And stay tuned. Mariners baseball is coming your way next. For Aaron Goldsmith, Shannon Dreher, I'm Rick Riz, along with Gary Hill. Thanks for tuning in to the Cactus League Report. Stay tuned for Cactus League Baseball, the Mariners and the Giants from the Peoria Sports Complex coming your way next.